I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit developing a heart for aloneness in you. Now, not a heart of loneliness. That's what a lot of people have. They have a lonely heart. But I'm going to ask something. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to bring forth this morning the spirit of aloneness. The spirit of being drawn to God alone. If you're going to ever move things for God, if you're ever going to be a mighty man or woman of God, the Lord has to develop a desire in your heart to be alone with God. Now, a lot of people, they're alone. But I'm talking about alone with God. It's very much a difference. Because if you're alone with God, you're never alone. And you're never lonely. And it takes that heart in a person, whether you're married or non-married, whatever your situation, your circumstance may be, whatever that you may feel as part is, somebody says, I'm just a people person, but God's God. If you're going to be a God person, God must develop in you a spirit that desires to be alone with God. Just as no married couple will ever come together as long as they keep people around them all the time, there must be that intimate time so where you and that married partner grow together. That's the same way it is with God. If you're ever going to really grow close to God, you're going to have to learn to enjoy being alone with God. And for you that have a lot of people around you, it's going to take a real discipline in your life. A real discipline in your life to have those alone moments with God. In the early service, I mentioned this morning, I have 6 children, has 17 grandchildren. I found out one thing that grandparents do. We go to graduations all the time. I've been in graduations in El Dorado, Camden, Dallas, I mean all over, seems like. And no matter how much I love to be with those grandchildren, it's still a drop in the bucket of my desire and love to be with God. Because years ago, Lane and I knew that God had to develop inside of us a desire for aloneness with Him. Now, like I said, you're never alone with God. Because God shows up every time. But for you to allow something spiritual to take place in your life that will draw you always to seasons with Him. And longer seasons and longer seasons. It may start off with a 5-minute devotional Bible. But it's not going to stop there. Not with your pursuit of God. Your pursuit of God and being alone with God, it will grow to an hour a day is not enough. And according to Jesus, that becomes the least amount of time that our heart should yearn for. But every person in the Bible that accomplished anything for God and that was used by God in any fashion first was developed inside their heart a heart to be alone with God. And out of that, now these... But the wonderful thing about being alone with God, you don't become any less to people either. In fact, the more alone with God you are, the more people ready you become. And more prepared you're ready. And the more joy you bring into situations, into gatherings, into family meetings, the more joy. The Bible starts off that great journey talking about a man that we know very little about, Enoch. Enoch just said, all we know really, the Bible says that Enoch walked with God. He did not walk alone. Some of us like to get on our walking tracks and walk really alone. Others always want somebody tagging along. But Enoch learned the desire of walking with God. So that's really all we know about Enoch. He got up every day evidently and took a walk. And every day God met him. And every day God walked with him. The closeness of Enoch and God became to such a mutual expression of oneness, the Bible finally says that Enoch was not, for God took him. What that means is he walked with God and got so close, he just walked on over to the other side for the glory of God. Every man, every woman used in the Bible in a right kind of way by God was a person that cherished and loved aloneness with God. Now, like I say, it takes a discipline. It's going to take a discipline to develop it. It's going to take a breaking from routine. But I believe that's what the Holy Spirit is reaching in this church right now to do. God desires to so involve himself not only in your life, but God wants to be able to affect every part of our life, as Moses did when God said, "Moses, come up and be with me." And Moses walked away from 3 million people and walked on that little mountain trail that carried him up to the top of that mountain. And one day when he got there and found God there, one day wasn't enough, 2 days wasn't enough, 3 days wasn't enough, and Moses did not return until 40 days later, till he returned down that mountain. The only thing that had changed, Moses had changed. The Bible says as Moses was in the presence of God, that literally his face began to shine with God's glory. And what I believe God's wanting to do here, God's wanting us to call us to that place of aloneness with him until literally we become changed examples of God's great power. Now, we all want to bring glory to God, and we have opportunity to do that in several different ways. Last week, we talked about that, the different expressions of God's glory, different dimensions. But I just want to really mention in reference to that, the two latter ones. The one was the word kabod. That means the God's presence in me that fills me with joy and peace. And I want you to know that becomes a great testimony of the Lord. For you to go through any trial and face any difficulty with a sense of peace and sense of joy becomes a great testimony of God's goodness to other people. But now, there is that higher expression, and that's the one that Jesus referred to in Mark chapter 16 in his closing things. He said, "These signs shall follow them that believe." Because there is a revealed level of God's glory where God literally does. He's changed us on the inside to where that we are different people, and that becomes such a powerful expression of God's glory. But that's not the only expression, because there is that higher level called Shekinah. In the Shekinah level of God's glory is seen. It's not only felt, it's not only that's able to be telt, but it is something that is seen. It's when God's glory manifests himself in your life, in your home, in your marriage, with your children, in your circumstances, on your job, in your situation, to literally everyone can recognize that God is real. If there's anything that we need in this day and time that we live in, we need people to show the world that God is real and that God loves them and that God can help them. Now, Jesus closed out the book of Mark by saying, "These times shall follow them that believe," and gave expressions of God's glory that all refer to the Shekinah level. It's the level of God's glory where you can see God manifest, where you can see God undertake, where you see God change things. So the level that causes healings to come and the whole crowd to rejoice that someone's been healed. It can even cause the dead to be raised. I mean, such expressions of power, Jesus says. This is what my desire is for those that believe. But to have that, it's going to take that aloneness, God bringing forth that aloneness. Well, let me back up just real quick. I want to mention the other thing. I've mentioned several things it takes to be able to carry God's presence into our situations. That's what we've been studying on if you're just here first thing this morning, first time. We've been talking about what I can do in my life that will prepare me to carry God's presence into circumstances, into situations, into my family, into my job, into my level, wherever it is. What I can do with the involvement of my life, what can I do to get to that? The Bible referred to that in the Old Testament by calling it the priesthood or the Levites. And the Levites, they had this wonderful opportunity and also just a huge responsibility of carrying the presence of God, or carrying God's throne, which is symbolic of the Ark of the Covenant, was carrying God's throne into every situation of life. That's why God's throne would lead the people. That's why God's throne would go into battle first. That's why God's throne, because everywhere God shows up, things change. And everywhere that God moves, things move. And so God says that we can have that wonderful, awesome, unique opportunity to carry the very presence of God into circumstances. And no, let me say, no circumstance can withstand the power of God. No situation can withstand the power of God. No person can withstand the power of God. Amen. So it's just real important. During that process, we've learned different things, but I want to skip all the way over to this, and where it says, number four, a level I mentioned to you, that we have to be willing to live strong. I just want to mention that. We talked about it before. I just want to mention, you have to be willing to live strong. You have to be willing to be weak and let God make you strong. You have to be willing on one level to know I'm the weakest, yet the strongest lives in me. Because as long as you stay weak, you will never, ever affect people for the glory of God. There must be a desire in you to be so touched by the very hand of God that that weakness is melted away in God's grace. Somebody say, somebody shout God's grace. God's grace and God's power is able to be poured into that life. So I have to live strong. The next thing, I have to run with people that live strong. This is one of the major difficulties that we have with. We all, the Bible says, will become like who we run with. There has to be three levels. Now, I'm not saying that God's asking you to come away from people, but there has to be three levels of relationship all the time in our life. The first level is with God. That's why I preface this by saying, I love to be with those I love, but I love being with Him the most because I love Him the most. And that desire that God puts in each of our hearts to come away with Him, that's one level. The second level of relationship is the relationship that you will walk with those that are stronger than you are. Now, that's uncomfortable. Because we all of us like this area of control. So what we used to do, we run with turkeys because we are a turkey. The truth of the matter is, if we run with turkeys, we'll always stay a turkey. Now, if there's anything that I can contribute that Lane and I have done through the longevity, we just celebrated 46 years of marriage last week, man. Wow. Wonderful. Yeah. If it's anything, it's because when we were first married, God put this principle inside of us. Find a hero, and as much as you can, get into that hero's life. And so that's what we did. We found a married couple that we felt was an example. And what we said, we found out, oh, we were young then. And about old now. But back when I was young, I looked for somebody that was old, that was happy and loved each other at an old age. And Lane and I determined we want to be like them when we get that age. And so they became our heroes. Later on, then I met Johnny and Margaret. I gained another hero in that area. But people, you have to be willing to run with people that are stronger. Then, spiritually speaking, then you must develop a spiritual hero. Now, a spiritual hero is people that you're going to do whatever you can to be a part of their life. I mean, I did things to be a part of my spiritual hero's life. The only thing that lacked was them telling me, get out of their life. Because I knew that if I was going to grow and develop, that I had to run with people that were stronger than I. I had to be mentored. There's not a one of us that can make it. The Bible calls it, Jesus called it discipling, discipleship. He said, go into all the world and make disciples of all men. Jesus so knew our need to be mentored by somebody. And so you have to find that person. Now, it's not a thing that's going to add to your sense of worth, so to speak, at first, because you're going to be uneasy. Lane and I would run with people where I would not even hardly open my mouth, because if I opened my mouth, I'd be so dumb. But you've got to have a mentor. Find relationships that you can develop of people that are stronger than you are in the Lord, and then do what it takes to get in their life and to run with them. Then there's a third level of relationship in our life. And that's where we run with our equals. Now, that's the one that you relax with. That's the one that you can usually let down your hair with. But you always have to remember one thing. You're the minister in that relationship. You fellowship with your heroes. You minister to your equals. You got to know that. If you don't, what they talk about, you're going to be talking about. What they're doing, you're going to be doing. And since they're running on the same level you are, you will never grow. You'll stay where you are for the rest of your life. All the while that you're with, I don't care, Lane and I had a lot of relationships over the number of years. We always had to categorize them. And I knew that when I was going out and fellowshipping with my equals, I always had to know that God required me to be a minister. What that meant was, I could operate with an equal. They could be their self, but I had to be myself. I was always, is what happens is when you begin to go with your equals and they become your fellowshipping group, your equals can never be your fellowshipping group. Your heroes always had to be your fellowshipping group. And you will come to the place to recognize them. Those that are stronger than you are, you will learn to fellowship, and it will pull you up. It's like getting a rope being pulled up a hill. It's like you've got a rope around you, and you begin. So you find those three relationships, and you make sure that you keep them strong. Amen? All right. Now, almost, when we talk about the aloneness, the Bible says when it came to the Levites, those that carried the presence of God, this is what the Lord said, verse 8. At that time, the Lord separated the tribe of Levi. He separated them to bear the ark and to stand before him. They were a separated group. If you're ever going to be, you're going to have to come to this sense that I'm going to learn to enjoy being alone with God. I'm going to discipline myself, whatever I need to do, to bring my life to a place to where I will enjoy. Because, see, we're going to take it all the way. Let's just take for a brief moment here. And let's just begin to think. We think of Enoch. Enoch was a person that walked with God. Right behind him, we have Abraham. Abraham, that loneliness to be with God. Even though he was surrounded by a huge family, Abraham would go out in the desert place. He would make him an altar of rocks. He would kneel down there at that altar of rocks, and he would have his aloneness with God. Everything that was powerful that came into Abraham's life that you and I are still drawing from today did not come from Abraham in a crowd. It came to Abraham when he was out there with that pile of rocks, learning how to love being alone with God. When a person is alone with God, it becomes a meshing of hearts. It becomes a meshing of oneness. You will never become one with God with a crowd. You will only become one with God when you choose to develop the desire in your heart to be alone with God. And out of those senses, see, some people fill their whole alone time with words. They fill it with thoughts. What you want to do, you don't do a friend that way. What you want to develop is to learn to love to the presence of God and to love that sense of aloneness with Him. To where literally you can sit there for hours and hours and just love being in His presence. And when you walk out of there, somebody will say, what did you say? You say, well, I really didn't say anything. They say, what did God say? Well, God wasn't talking much today either. We were just enjoying. We were hanging out and we were enjoying each other's presence. At those moments, at those intimate moments, you become intimate with God. God's able to merge into your spirit. Several years ago, I had an experience like that helped me see what God was trying to say. As you know, I operate in that realm of a seer. I see things. Some people hear things. Some people feel things. But I've always been one, since I came to the Lord, to see things. And usually any truth that God is trying to dwell into my heart, that's a deep truth that's going to change my life, I usually, God comes and he gives me a vision of it, and I'm able to see. And I was standing at this particular place in a hard situation at one moment, at one time. I remember it was one of the hardest situations I'd ever faced at that time. Now it's still going on, it would be on a scale of a lot less than. But at that time, it was the hardest situation I'd ever faced. And I can remember that during that, my spiritual eyes were open and I saw Jesus. And Jesus began to walk toward me. And I continued to worship God. And as I did, Jesus continued to move closer and closer to me. In fact, I can still feel it now. As Jesus came closer to me, it became where I could literally feel his body. But the amazing thing about it, he didn't stop there. He didn't stop. Jesus began to push. I felt the weight of his body as it began to push up on me. The next thing, which was horrifying and yet so exhilarating, the next thing I noticed, Jesus has pushed his way moving into me. And so I understood he was trying to teach me a deep truth. Anywhere along that, I could call it enough, enough. When Jesus was 20 feet away from me, I could still have said, well, that's the presence of God, so that's where I'll live the rest of my life. I could have stopped him at 10 feet. I could have stopped him at 5 feet or at 4. But I'm so thankful. At that moment, God was trying to teach me the principle that he wanted to come out of my relationship with him and out of my aloneness with him. God was wanting to push himself into me for the glory of God. Now, I'm going to tell you what. I've learned that in my relationship with Elaine. I eat things I used to hate. I do things I used to hate. I enjoy things I used to hate. But I tell you what, if you spend enough long time with people, you begin to love what they love, and you begin to hate what they hate, and you begin to enjoy what they enjoy. You'll never, ever develop that in a crowd. But you can develop that in that aloneness time with God. Amen? I want to just quickly, let's just talk about some more. I want to talk about Jacob just for a quick minute. Jacob in the Bible, he spent most of his life running in fear. Because he was not to be the favored one legally. In fact, he was to be the nobody in the whole family. But I'm going to tell you what, you may feel that, and I've spent a lot of my life of finding out what I wasn't. But I want to hang around God because he's going to tell me what I am. Amen. People in the world, friends, that they'll tell you what you're not. But you hang around God, and you'll become convinced who you are. And Jacob was that very same way. He spent most of his life running in fear from his brother. Running in fear for his own life. But it came to a point that he just had alone time with God. In fact, it was a lot like my alone times with God. The Bible says that Jacob wrestled with God. Now, I don't know about you, but God and I have done some wrestling. I've wrestled with God in the middle of the night. I've wrestled with God for days. There was one season in my life for 50 days I wrestled with God. But I just determined as Jacob, I'm not going to let you go, God, until you bless me. I'm not going to let you go. In the process of Jacob wrestling with the Lord, God reached down and touched his. A touch from God is worth whatever it takes in life. Jacob wrestled with the Lord to the point to where God reached down and touched him. That touch changed him. Not only did it change him physically, it changed him spiritually. For God said, you will no longer be called Jacob. Now you have become a prince with your God. I tell you what, God wants to tell some of us who we are. And we will never ever find out who we are and be changed to who we are. Unless we find, I tell you what, sitting under a man is okay. Sitting under a teaching is okay. But there's nothing in all the world that will take the place of sitting under God. Amen. God is the changer. Now, for the Lord to develop this desire, for God to do this great desire inside of us, I just want to quickly quote some scripture, or read some scripture to you. Psalms 27, it says, you said, seek my face, and what did my heart respond? Your face will I seek. That's what God expects. God desires to be with us so much. So he said, all you have to do is take a step toward me. And God said, I will take a step toward you. If you want to be close to me, God says, you just take a step and I'll take a step and you'll take a step and I'll take a step and you'll take a step and I'll take two steps. And before you know it, you will be close to me, God says. Now, Exodus chapter 24, verse 2, it says, Moses alone shall come near to the Lord. How did Moses come near the Lord? Moses alone. God said, Moses, you can't come to me in the group. You can't come to me. He said, but Moses alone, you can come to me. Exodus 33 says, whenever Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak. Wow. When Moses would take a step for aloneness, God would begin to speak. Some of you desire for God to speak in your life. But the problem is, it's not that God's not speaking. You've got too many voices going on, and you're not able to tell what's God's voice. And God's voice is running competition to all the other voices in your life. There's people trying to tell you what to do. Your own anger is trying to tell you what to do. Your own frustration is trying to tell you what to do. Your own fear is trying to tell you what to do. God says, if you'll come along with me, I'll tell you what to do. And I'll tell you how to do it for the glory of God. God speaks when we determine to be along with him. Now, not only Moses, but right under him, Joshua. Someone says, how come Joshua was chosen? Why was he chosen to succeed Moses? Because Joshua is the one that stayed in the tent with God when Moses was filled up with God and would leave. Joshua developed in his heart such a spirit for aloneness with God, to where he would follow Moses into the tent when Moses would go to be alone with God. But when Moses would stay alone with God as long as he could stay, the Bible said Joshua still stayed. Joshua developed a heart so desiring to be alone with God. I want to tell you what, that aloneness with God, it may be in your lounge chair early morning hours. It may be taking your walk as Zena did. But if any of us here desire to be used by God and be close to God, to be empowered by God and to change things through God, it's going to take God develop in us a spirit to be alone. Now, there's two types of us people that are here. There's those people that are naturally loners. Now, a lot of naturally loners have just as big a battle, because theirs is always loneliness. You've got to begin to call it what it is. You've got to have a desire to be alone with God and then work toward causing yourself to enjoy it so much that you're no longer alone. Now, you that love the crowds, you got just as big a battle the other way. Because the way you find your ups is being with people. God said, you got to find your ups by being with me. And so the Lord's going to have to develop that desire for aloneness. Then you're going to have to discipline your life. You're going to have to allow the Holy Spirit to bring the discipline enough in your life to separate yourself to be alone with God. Some things work in a group, but you being empowered by God doesn't work in a group. It comes by you spending that aloneness with God. Now, this week, God's going to do some wonderful things. I think I'm going to quit right here. I have all the things listed out today that I wanted to tell you that aloneness would do in your life. But I want to release you to the Holy Spirit this week. I want to release you to the will of God. There's a faith in my heart that came on me during the early service this morning. There's a faith in my heart that God so wants to work in your life. God so wants to change your circumstances. God so wants to turn things around. That God so wants to make a difference. That God so wants to change the people that you're so hurting for. That God so wants to change the people that you're worried about. But God says the only way it will happen is for God to draw you into Himself, and God bring you into that point of aloneness. And when you're alone with God, there's going to be a sense of courage, and there's going to be a sense of strength. What happens is, it's just like it happened to Elijah. Elijah at one moment was standing before 400 prophets of Baal. And one time, he was calling down fire from heaven. But then a lady named Jezebel began to chase him. It had been too long since Elijah had heard God. When you don't hear God, what you have runs out. You hear what I'm telling you? When you don't hear God, and if it's been too long a period of time since you have really, truly sought God in aloneness, then what you have runs out. That's what happened to Elijah. It ran out. He went from Mr. Courage and Mr. Faith to sitting out under a juniper tree, discouraged and depressed, laying on the ground, sleeping from his depression and wanting to die. God knew all he had needed was alone with him. God sent an angel at that point, and that angel, I love the wordage there, because what it sounds like happens is that the angel spoke, but evidently it came in to Elijah. It came into Elijah's dream. Because God spoke and God said, "Elijah, arise and eat." Then the angel woke him up. And the angel said, "You don't have enough strength. You've got to get to the Mount of God. Because the only thing that's going to change you, son, is for you to be alone with God. You're alone out here, but you're lonely out here. You've got to get alone with God." So the angel said, "God sent food to you, son." And the angel prepared it. And the angel said, "This food, son, will give you the strength, no matter how weak you are, no matter how vulnerable you are, no matter how down you are, no matter how depressed you are, no matter how undisciplined you may be, this food, son, will give you the strength to get to the cave of God. This will give you the strength." So the Bible says that Elijah woke up, got up, and he ate the food from above prepared by the angel. I'm going to tell you what, there's not a one of you, wherever you are, God's grace is sufficient enough to get you to the mountain to hear God. No matter how depressed you are, no matter how discouraged you are, God's food is enough to get you to the mountain to hear Him. And once you hear Him, all will be restored into you. So the Bible says that Elijah, even in that state of weakness he was in, he ate the food. And the supernatural strength of God came upon him. And he began to run. He began to run toward the voice of God. Because he knew in his heart, if I can just hear God, it'll change everything that I feel. Everything that I feel I'm not, it will change everything about me. It will cause strength to come and grace to come in my life again. And so he ran. And the Bible says he went into the cave. There at the mouth of the cave, first there was a huge wind. God went in that wind. God caused the wind. I tell you, the presence of God, man, when He moves, things thunder, earthquakes happen, but it's all preceding Him. See? Then all of a sudden, the earthquake shattered. God wasn't there. But what happened in the very next moment changed Elijah forever. The Bible said, there became
a still, quiet voice. I so wish I knew what he told Elijah. But it changed him. Elijah walked out of that cave the courageous man of God again. Faith, strength restored. He walked out of that with purpose for his life. One last quick one. In my time, God. David, although God has so anointed David and so powerfully used David, if it's been too long since we've been alone with God, I say again, it all runs out. We end up doing the very thing we said we would never do. We end up partaking of the very things that we thought we would never partake of because it runs out. David found himself running for his life. And the Bible says he ran to a cave. And I'm so thankful that David knew where to run to. David said, I know where my help comes from, what it says in Psalms. My help comes from the Lord. And David ran into the cave, and the Bible calls it the cave Adullam. David was in that cave along with God. Then all of a sudden, from all over, there became these others, other people that began to run to him. And the Bible says that they were all in the same shape that David was in. They was all discouraged. They was all depressed. And they was all financial failures. And this group of 400, I tell you what, when the devil gets to fighting, true people of God go running to God, man. We got to find him. We got to get to that mountain. We got to get to that cave. We got to get, because if we can hear God, God will change everything. And so David opened up his cave to 400 destitute, deprived, depressed men and women. But the Bible says David became a captain among them. When David began to hear from God again, courage began to enter into David again. Supernatural strength came into David again. 400 depressed, discouraged, destitute men and women walked into that cave. But what came out of that cave totally changed the world. They went in as weaklings, and they walked out as the strongest, mightiest warriors the world had ever, ever known. One of them could slay 600 and 700 men on the field of battle, just one of them. They became known as David's mighty men. The difference that being alone with God makes in our life. As long as we go too far in between those, we're going to always be lack of strength. We're going to always be fearful. We're going to always be running for our life or running. But the moment we realize, you know, the only thing missing in my equation is God. I got the trouble and I got me. Only thing I need now is God. So if I can get alone with God, I'm going to tell you what, the Lord's not going to be satisfied till you get there. Some of you want to know why the problems keep mounting up? Because God's going to let as many problems mount up in our lives that's going to force us to be alone with God. I'm going to tell you what, now we can do it the easy way or the hard way. Mama didn't raise no fool here. I tried the hard way. Being pushed to God by circumstances, the world flying apart and things flying out that you can't control is the rough way. But there's a much easier way. And that is for God to develop a desire for aloneness inside of each one of us. And that desire aloneness will pull us with God. and it pulls up with God, we will begin to hear, just as Elijah did, that still small voice. And then we will begin to emerge just as David did, coming out as the strongest fighting man the world has ever known for the glory of God. It's God's will that God make devil chasing, sick healing, dead raising, power packed, spirit filled, tongue talking, serpent treading, super believers in the midst out of our lives, to where we may run to a cave. And the devil said, I got them now. They're in that cave. But what the devil just forgot, we're in that cave with God. We're not alone. That's what they said about Jesus. He said, I'm never alone, for my Father is always with me. It's what Jesus says. And we too, somebody say, we too will emerge as a strong man and woman of God, ready to handle whatever it is that the devil would try to place in our path. We refuse to quit. We refuse to give up. We refuse to lay down. We're going to get in our cave, and we're going to hear God, and we're going to emerge for the glory of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Just stand with us, please. Well, time is gone, so we're dismissed. But what I would so like to challenge you with is that this week, I want to challenge you with you allowing the Holy Spirit to draw you. Let the Holy Spirit draw you into aloneness. Some of you, it's going to be hard because you're going to be lonely at first. But if you will push past the loneliness, you will never be alone again. If you will push past the loneliness, you will find yourself never, ever alone again. Because God will do such a work in you. And own your situation and into your circumstance. As you learn to love being alone with God, 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 as you love to be alone with God, to be alone with God, to be alone with God, to be alone with God. We just need to do something faith-wise here before we leave. If you want to be alone with God, I want you to raise your hands up toward God and say, Lord, develop a desire in me. Help me, Lord. Give me the discipline that it takes. Lord, give me everything that it will take. Lord, give me what it takes. Give me what you gave David. Give what you gave Abraham. Lord, give what you gave Enoch. Lord, what you put in them to be desired to be alone with you. Lord, help me not to be lonely. Help me to override the people in my life to come to a place where I'm going to be alone with you and I'll hear from you. Not be influenced by people, but be influenced by God. I want to be so 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 influenced by God that I'll never, ever be the same again for the glory of God.